You'll turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 18. As you're turning there, I'm sure that you can finish this popular saying. The way to a man's heart is through his... I have to say that I can agree with that. There is great joy in a delicious meal and a full stomach. And the Bible has much to say about feasts and sharing meals and breaking bread together. And there is great blessing in that. The Bible also has a lot to say about fasting and the practice of fasting. And honestly, the church at large has not done a great job teaching about it or practicing the discipline of fasting. We might not even understand what it means or how to do it or why we should even do it in the first place. The practice of fasting was very common with the early church. And in the fourth century, when the church began the practice of Lent, fasting was a part of it. And followers of Jesus would wake up and go without food from sunset, without food until sunset for 40 days. 40 days, every day, every year. And to be clear, fasting was going without food. And I've heard and even referred to fasting from other aspects like screen time or hobbies, which I think can be a great practice as well. But when the Bible talks about fasting, it's referring to food. So let's try a few more sayings. You deserve a break. A break today. Have it your way. Bet you can't eat just one or all of them. Yeah. Notice the food slogans often pander to our hunger and the desire to have what we want when we want it. And we're used in our culture to instant gratification and satisfying our fleshly desires of hunger. What is the blessing of fasting? Well, Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, the practice of fasting exercises the spiritual muscle of denying ourselves and gives us greater understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. One of the Hebrew phrases referring to fasting in the Bible is ena napso, which means to afflict the soul. I can relate. Lack of food afflicts my soul. But yet, that affliction can lead to something greater if we let it. Fasting is found throughout the Scriptures, not just as a means to an end, but simply as a means to draw close to God, to experience His goodness, to recognize our deep need for Him and His provisions, and to learn to grow in self-control and Christ-likeness. It's a spiritual practice or discipline that's found in the Old Testament, New Testament, and the life of believers ever since then. And spiritual growth often happens in our lives when we are uncomfortable. As Vadi Bakum likes to say, if you can't say amen, say ouch. And so let's dive in and talk about this spiritual practice or discipline that if you're like me, it's bound to make you uncomfortable, but can produce huge spiritual gains. And so, as we dive into Scripture, let's pray. God, we are seeking Your Holy Spirit to fill us in abundance here this morning, that You would be our great teacher, or that You would lead us and guide us and instruct us in the ways that we are to go, what we're to believe, what we're to do. Speak directly into our lives, what we are experiencing, maybe tests or temptations, or maybe they're in the horizon. And help us to be hungry for you, God, and wanting more of you in our life. And how to better mortify, put to death the desires and the sins of the flesh in order to be more honoring and pleasing to you with our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil in your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And if you can flip back in the Old Testament to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4. Beginning in verse 16. Esther was a Jew. She had become the queen there in the Persian Empire. And yet there was an enemy of the Jews named Haman, who was out to not only kill Mordecai, her cousin who had taken care of her growing up because her parents had died, but also to kill all of the Jews on a set day. And so Esther was put in a position of influence, but yet in order to go to the king, she would have to risk her life. If he didn't accept her and extend the golden scepter, death was certainly on the horizon. But Mordecai encouraged her and knew that deliverance for the Jews would come someplace, and had she not been raised up for this very purpose. And so with taking this risk, with what was before her, with the gravity of the situation, here were her words to Mordecai and to her fellow Jews in this dire situation. In verse 16, she says, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." This is the word of the Lord. Well, one of my first experiences with fasting might have been after I graduated from college. And I was working in my home church as youth director. And I heard of a way, a program, to expose our youth to the hunger problem around the world and help to meet some of those needs through an event called the 40-hour famine. And it was popular among youth groups at the time. I think the lock-in factor played a large role. And each of us raised money or support to participate in this event. And then that money was sent to provide food for those who in parts of the world were experiencing famine and didn't have access to food. And there were literally those who were starving, and we could educate ourselves about hunger and the need and seek the Lord and send in some relief money to help. And I'm sure it was amazing. I know I love my time with the youth. What I'm not sure of is if I enjoyed getting no sleep and being hungry for 40 hours. And the last thing I remember is breaking the fast, walking downtown to eat together, and coming back to the church. It was like in the Bible, Jonathan, when he was hungry and he ate honey, and then he got his energy back and he slayed the Philistines. Well, since then, I've grown in my understanding and experience with the practice of fasting. I've been more intentional, and yet this is an area that is hard for me and that I want to grow in. And so let's continue to dive into God's Word this morning and to see what He has for us. Matthew chapter 4. Everything that Jesus went through in the wilderness, God the Father was fully in the know. And it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus there. And God the Father allowed Him to be tested by the devil or Satan or the evil one. And fasting for 40 days and 40 nights was a part of God's plan for Jesus. Hunger was inevitable. Depending on God was essential. The devil is referred to as the tempter, and he goes after what Jesus' humanity wants, and that's food. If one of us was starving, we would do almost anything for food. In the Old Testament, Esau sold his birthright for food. Moms in the Old Testament ate their babies because there was no food available, and they were dying. And eventually, we'll die without food. We need it to survive in these bodies that we've been given. However, through this wilderness experience, Jesus was wanting God more than He even wanted food. And Satan knew that as he went after Jesus in his first attempt to follow Him rather than God, said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus had the power to do it immediately. He was the Son of God. He created everything. But He chose to deny Himself and to focus on the purpose of why He was there in the first place. And He shot back. It is written, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, if you want to turn there. Have you ever read the passage in Matthew chapter 4 that John read and thought how amazing Jesus' response was to not having food for 40 days and 40 nights? I mean, when I miss one meal, I feel weak, my stomach hurts, and I don't like it one bit. And I'm certainly not ready to quote a passage of Scripture to war against temptation. But that is where I have it wrong. In John Mark Comer's book, Live No Lies, he talks about the great potential of fasting, using this verse as an example in writing, "Is it any wonder that Jesus went toe-to-toe with the devil? He was fasting." Comer implies that Jesus was not exhausted and weak after the 40 days, but rather 40 days in, Jesus was at the height of His spiritual power and was able to wisely discern the devil's lies and dismiss his temptations with adroit skill. I love that perspective that Jesus experienced extreme hunger, but He also experienced a time of extreme feasting and perfect communion with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That is the gift of fasting. As we grow in our practice, we grow in God's strength. And Comer writes, "When Scripture reading is to our fight with the devil, a way to fill our minds to combat his lies, fasting is to our fight with the flesh. It's a way to starve our flesh and weaken its hold over us." Physical food is essential for our earthly survival, but spiritual food is essential not only for our earthly survival, but for everlasting life. Jesus' food, He tells us, is to do the will of the one who sent Him. And feasting on communion with God is what we need most each day, more than food. And that's what fasting is all about. Let's put that Deuteronomy text into context. Israel and Moses were in the wilderness and were being tested. And God had given the Israelites the Ten Commandments on new tablets because Moses had thrown them down and broke the first ones because of his righteous anger. And Israel was failing their testing over and over again with God. And Moses taught them about God, how to love Him, how to live for Him, and to constantly remember Him and to put Him at the center of their lives. Look at Deuteronomy here, chapter 8, verses 2 through 5. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commandments. And He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Humble submission to God was good for them, and it's good for us. Being uncomfortable and hungry, if we realize God's provision and lean into Him, is a good thing. Israel's hunger had been intended to show them that hearing and obeying God's word is the most important thing in life. More necessary than bread for Jesus was obedience to God's word. And Israel demanded its bread, but died in the wilderness. Jesus denied Himself bread, retained His righteousness, and lived by faithful submission to God's word. Our youth on Sunday morning right now, during our discipleship time, are using a curriculum called Faith Foundations, taught by David Platt. And we're currently in that series talking about spiritual practices or disciplines as well. And Platt reminds us that here in Matthew chapter 6, right after Jesus teaches us to pray, He teaches us to fast. And so walking with God involves prayer, times of silence and solitude, and fasting. And in Matthew chapter 6, fasting is just as basic as prayer is. And so, how do we fast? I think Platt invites us and gives us a very helpful acronym for fast. F-A-S-T. So first, F. We focus on God. Meaning, just like Jesus says in our text, we don't fast so that others will think that we are spiritual. We fast because our hearts and our minds and our bodies are fixed on knowing and enjoying God more. Strict Pharisees fasted at least twice a week and made sure that others knew it. In contrast, Jesus says, look normal. Don't draw attention to yourself. That's not what fasting is about. Jesus assumed His disciples would fast when He was glorified, and that's exactly what we see in the early church as they sought intimacy with the risen Lord. Under Moses, fasting was not only commanded on the Day of Atonement for the Jews during the exile, but regular fasts of remembrance were instituted. However, throughout Scripture, we see personal fasts like in Esther for a variety of reasons, often in connection with confession of sin, to lay a special petition before the Lord, and all out of various emotions. For some, it's a part of their normal Christian discipline. And so F, when you fast, focus on God as the purpose. And then A, abstain from food. We set aside food for a meal or a couple meals or multiple days as a discipline to say, God, I want You more than anything. God, I want You more than anything in this world, even the basic necessity of food. I want You. I want your word. I want your will to be done in my life and in the world. Abstaining from food gets our attention. We can then take that attention and direct it to what or who is most important. And so F, focus on God. A, when we fast, abstain from food. And then S, instead of eating, we substitute. We substitute the time involved with preparing a meal, time with buying a meal, or all the cleanup afterwards. Instead, we use that time alone with God in prayer and time in His Word. Fasting is not just skipping a meal. Fasting is setting aside extra time to spend with God instead of the whole process involved with eating. And so fasting in this way is feasting in communion with God and His Word. Instead of having a meal, we pray and we study God's Word. And then throughout the day, when we're hungry, we pray. And we say, God, more than I want food right now, which I really want, I want You in my life. And as we set aside food to spend time with God in prayer and God's Word, we taste and see that God is good. And that's a direct quote from Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. And the psalmist continues in verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It is good to walk with God through prayer and fasting. And God wants us to exalt Him and to walk with Him in deeper ways. And as we do, we will enjoy being in His presence. So as John shared in the Friday email, if we can fast or say no to food for a dedicated time, we can grow into being more likely to be able to say no to temptation or sin and yes to the things that God calls us to. So why not give it a shot? Give up a meal or a couple meals and then spend the time that you would normally have spent around that meal and see if God grows you in self-control and, more importantly, renews your relationship with the Lord. As we enter into this time of communion, we have seen that more necessary than bread for Jesus was obedience to God's Word. Jesus didn't turn stones into bread for Himself, but He gives us His own body as bread for us. And so let's feast on that living bread today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for Your goodness to us that feeds us and sustains us, that teaches us and trains us in all righteousness. Lord, this was a very practical subject that we talked about this morning. Lord, help us to embrace it and grab a hold of it and grab a hold of this part of Your Word. And Lord, may Your Holy Spirit grab a hold of us. And Lord, in days ahead, Lord, help us to take steps that can help us grow in our relationship with You. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.